I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. India is the world's most populous democracy, something to boast about. But many Indians are less proud of another side to the country, rampant corruption. And it's a problem that stretches across all levels of Indian society. There's evidence, though, that some Indians have had enough. The World's Alex Galifant reports from Bangalore.
Over the last year or so, news channels in India have been filled with talk of officials on the take.
It seems like we're living in a scam raj, whether it's the Adarsh Housing Society scam, whether it's the Karnataka
Brewing 2G scam that tonight threatens to be actually bigger than the first.
Finally, the Commonwealth Games 2010 for conspiracy to cause favor to a private firm based in Switzerland.
3 months ago, those multi-million dollar scandals persuaded a 72-year-old social activist called Anna Hazare to begin a Gandhi-like fast in protest. He wanted the Indian government to write new anti-corruption legislation. It worked, kind of. Hazare's fast was highly publicized, and after 4 days, the government agreed to come up with something. The arguing over what that thing should actually be is still going on. But during those 4 days, thousands of Indians voiced their support for Hazare's cause, especially online.
A 72-year-old Gandhian, now trending worldwide on Twitter. He struck a chord with youngsters a quarter his age.
Some saw it as a kind of citizen awakening. Others, not so much.
I saw people tweeting, you know, we are with you. Anna Hazare, we are with you. But my question is, what do you support? How do you support? How do you support Anna Hazare? Just by saying it?
This is Aditya Kumar, a 29-year-old software engineer based in Bangalore. He also writes a blog about life in India.
Now, my point is this. If you have ever paid a bribe to a cop on a red signal, I don't think you are entitled to complain about corruption in India.
And that kind of means no one can really complain, says Kumar. That 100-rupee, 2-buck bribe to the traffic cop is normal, every day. No one thinks of it as a crime, really. And the cops are hardly well paid.
Nobody wants to break the law. It's not that, you know, I have woken up in the morning and I want to break a law today. It's not like that.
It's more that India's bureaucracy is too intimidating. If you want to pay a fine the correct way, you have to claw your way through a thicket of red tape.
So what would I rather do? This is what a typical urban youth would think. I would rather pay the same amount to the traffic cop, and this way I can be let off in 60 seconds. So that's the most common thing. Then anything that involves government, anything that involves me standing in a queue and filling a form and then getting a signature from somebody up there.
Say, somebody up there who can sign off on your marriage certificate or get your kid a place at school or even release your loved one's body to you from the local morgue. This is retail corruption. You want it, you pay for it.
It's such a pain for everybody.
But for Aditya Kumar and others, it's also a matter of simple accountability, whether you're an everyday citizen or a powerful government minister. Over tea, I asked the historian Ramachandra Guha whether India had always experienced this level of corruption, at least in politics. He said no, not in the days of Gandhi and Nehru.
What was common to Gandhi and Nehru and that entire generation of Indian politicians was that they were personally honest. They were incorruptible in a financial sense. However, over the last 20 or 25 years, there's been a deep nexus between big business and politics. And certain kinds of big business, real estate, mining, telecom, defense contractors. These are the people who depend on state patronage to promote their businesses. And in exchange, give kickbacks to ministers. And the scale of the kickbacks is what is humongous, you know, billions of dollars.
In other words, much of Indian politics has become transactional. You want something done, you strike a deal for whatever it's worth to you. Everyday bribes are no different. They're just smaller deals. But the current outrage, especially in the media, is directed at corruption with a big C, at those big government scandals. For Aditya Kumar, outrage alone isn't enough.
The government of India, the government of the state, the government of anywhere is actually us.
And this is the idea that's been missing, he says, that by tolerating the world of everyday bribes, Indian citizens are in a way complicit in the bigger scams and scandals.
We used to take the British on the palanquins on our shoulders earlier, now we're taking our government.
Swati Ramanathan is one of the co-founders of a civil society group based in Bangalore.
We've still not made that transition in our mindsets to say that we are their bosses, and ultimately we are the ones who actually put the government where they are.
Ramanathan's group is called Janagraha, which translates as the moral force of people. A few years back, she and her colleagues asked themselves some questions about corruption.
What is even the size of corruption? What if we gave people a way by which they could report the kinds of bribes that they were having to pay?
The result is a website called I Paid a Bribe. It invites people to submit anonymously their own experiences of corruption.
And you click on that and you have over 10,000 people who have reported that this is what I paid, this is where I paid, this is the department I paid it to, and this is what I paid for, and this is how much I paid.
One person reports paying 200 rupees in Chandigarh to get a death certificate for their relative. Another says it took an extra 60 bucks to get their passport renewed in Hyderabad. And in Bangalore, someone paid 20,000 rupees to register a property, a bribe of $450, and they go much higher than that. In all, I Paid a Bribe has collected over 12,000 such reports. The vast majority tell of bribes paid. A few reveal spots of honesty in the system, and some are by people who actively refuse to pay a bribe. The site joins them all together, and it's produced a wealth of crowdsourced advice on how to deal with corrupt officials, like demanding that everything always be put in writing.
It's just if you're surrounded by an entire environment which is corrupt, it's very difficult to stay honest.
The website can help people do that, says Swati Ramanathan. But it's only part of the plan. The I Paid a Bribe team is able to extrapolate trends from all those stories. Which cities are worse, which government departments, and then direct public attention to specific problems in the system. The thinking is that officials will think twice before demanding a bribe.
It's a recurring nightmare for the government. Black money in foreign banks.
India is negotiating its relationship with corruption and how to phase it out. And it's doing it under the pressure of what Swati Ramanathan described to me as a double whammy. Crazy fast urbanization and expectations from the rest of the world. Multinationals want to expand their operations in India, but sense that corruption may be just the way of things there.
I think it'll take time to fix it, but we're a young democracy. We are 60 years old, so give us, you know, another 40 years and we'll get there.
We'll get there. That's key for young Indians like Aditya Kumar.
To be very honest, till a few years ago, I was doing it. I have paid a bribe to the traffic cops. But now I'm not doing it anymore.
For the world, I'm Alex Galifant, Bangalore, India.
You can check out the top five Indian cities cited for bribe violations, according to users on the I Paid a Bribe website. And check out the video featuring I Paid a Bribe's 10 Commandments. That's all at theworld.org.